Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission. So as we start off this morning, I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the author of Hebrews says this to us, "Let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us." I shared a video on my personal Facebook page this last week. It was an audio clip from one of John Piper, Pastor John Piper's sermons over this verse. And as Pastor John Piper talked about this verse, he said there's an important question that we need to ask ourselves. If we are running this race, if we are a Christ follower, then there is an important question that we need to ask ourselves as we examine our attitudes, as we examine our actions, as we examine our habits, as we examine any other thing that we might have in our life. There is an important question that we need to ask ourselves. And the question is not just, is something a sin or is something wrong for me to do? Certainly, we need to address sin in our lives. We need to address the things that don't belong in our lives. But the question is not just, is something a sin? The question is, does it help me run? Or does it get in my way when I'm trying to become more patient, more kind, more gentle, more loving, more holy, more pure, more self-controlled? Does it get in my way or does it help me run? So this morning we're wrapping up a 10-part series in the book of James titled Walk the Walk. And as we've looked at the book of James over the course of these 10 weeks, we've seen that the book of James is a call for us to examine our actions. It's a call for us to examine our attitudes. It's a call for us to examine our lives, and it's a call for us to be more than mere talkers. It's a call for Christ followers to be more than just a facade of faith. Rather, we are called, if we're Christ followers, to walk the walk and to live out our faith every single day. And so as we think about this call to live out our faith, as we consider this call for us to walk the walk, I want you to understand the book of James is really doing something that Hebrews 12:1 does. It tells us to examine all of these things in our life, and it tells us to ask ourselves a question. And so I want to repurpose this question that John Piper asked for us this morning. And instead of asking, does it help me run, I want to ask this question, does it help me walk? As I am striving to walk the walk in this life, whatever it might be in my life, does it help me walk? Whether it might be a relationship, whether it's a weekly or a daily habit, whether it's a form of entertainment or a social activity, whatever it might be in our life, does it help me walk? Does it help me live out my faith, or is it keeping me tied to the things of this world and the sinful desires of my flesh? Does it help me walk? And if you would say that there's something in your life that's preventing you from consistently living out your faith, if there's something in your life that's preventing you from walking the walk as a Christ follower, then I would urge you, just as the author of Hebrews did, lay it aside. Throw off that hindrance. Don't keep anything in your life that's going to prevent you from following Christ. Don't keep anything in your life that's going to prevent you from being the Christ follower that you have been called to be. Does it help me walk? As we look at our passage today, we're going to see two clear things that do help us walk as we walk this walk. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to James chapter 5. We're going to read verses 13 through 20 this morning. James 5, 13 through 20. But as you're turning there, I'm going to take you to verse 12 just before our passage. In verse 12, James says these words to us. Above all, brothers and sisters, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes mean yes and your no mean no, so that you won't fall under judgment. So to fully grasp what James is saying here, it's important for you to understand the culture that James was living in at that time. When James wrote these words, it was very common for Jews to make what they considered to be a binding oath and what James or what Jews considered to be non-binding oaths. If you included the name of God in your oath, it was considered to be a binding oath. But if you made an oath without including the name of God in it, it was considered to be a non-binding oath. And what would happen is people would make an oath with someone without including the name of God in it so that they could get out of that commitment. Really, they would make this oath without ever having the intention of following through with that commitment to begin with. In a way, it was like making a promise to someone and keeping your fingers crossed behind your back. So this may be a little bit too much information for you, but I actually have two crossed toes. On my left foot, my entire life, I've had these two toes that are crossed. Don't worry, I'm not going to show you. No one wants to see that this morning. He does. See me later, I'll show you. I didn't see that one coming. That's all right. But when I was a kid, I would use these crossed toes to my advantage, right? I might make a promise to my sister, and then I'd say, well, my toes were crossed, because I didn't want to have to keep that promise. I went into that promise, I made that promise with no intention of ever following through with that commitment. And this is really what James is addressing here. It's not that making binding oaths was a bad thing, but it was these non-binding oaths that were made with zero commitment of follow-through that James was condemning. Understand, as Christ followers, we are to be people of truth. As Christ followers, we are to be people of truth. We are to study truth, we are to stand on truth, and we are to walk in truth. We are to be people of truth. And what this means is that when we make commitments, because we already bear the name of God on our lives, Christian, we don't need to swear by anything in heaven or on earth. We simply need to walk in truth. And so if we say yes to something, it needs to be a true yes. And if we say no to something, it needs to be a true no. We are to be people of truth. And so as we think about being people of truth, as we think about making true commitments, I want to ask a very important question this morning. Have you truly committed to following Christ? Have you truly surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Now, I also want you to hear what I'm not asking. I'm not asking if you've gone through some religious motions. I'm not asking if you've walked an aisle or if you've prayed a prayer. I'm asking if you have truly committed to following Christ. Because here's what I know what happens at times. Sometimes we want to please our parents or our grandparents. Sometimes we want to please our spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Sometimes because of the social circles we're in, we simply want to please our friends. And so instead of truly committing to following Christ, we go through these religious motions. Maybe we give lip service to God, or we give lip service to these other people in our lives. We've said that word yes to God, but we didn't really mean it. Here's another thing that happens all too often. We see the benefits of God. We want to go to heaven. We want the good things that God offers us as long as it doesn't impact the life that I'm living right now. We might say we want Jesus to be our Lord, but really we just want him to keep us out of hell while we continue to give ourselves over to our fleshly desires and the sinful things of this world. We've said yes to God, but we didn't really mean it. Our yes wasn't a true Yes. And if that's you in that place today, if you would say, I've never truly committed to following Christ. Maybe you've gone through some religious motions, but you've never made that true commitment. You've never truly surrendered to Christ as the Lord over your life. Then I would simply remind you that we can't fool God. We can't. We might be able to fool other people, but we can't fool God. God knows when our yes truly means yes and when our no truly means no. We can't fool God, and God has not called us to a phony commitment. God has called us to true surrender. Hear that again. God has not called us to a phony commitment. God has called us to true surrender. And if you've never truly surrendered to Christ, then I would urge you, stop playing games with God. Stop trying to fool God. Stop trying to fool others. Truly surrender to Christ today. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. So with that in mind, let's read our last passage in the book of James. James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. James says this, "Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Elijah was a human being as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. My brothers and sisters, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back, let that person know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." So as we look at this passage, I want to begin by highlighting what James says there at the in verse 19. We just looked at it, but let me read it again. James says, "My brothers and sisters, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back." As James wraps up this letter, which has this primary focus on walking the walk, James gives us this call to continued commitment. It is a call to continue in our faithfulness and even to help our brothers and sisters in Christ to continue to walk in faithfulness as well. So let me pause right here and say this. We have not been called to stray. We have been called to stay. We have not been called to stray. We have been called to stay. So last week, I shared several illustrations from our vacation at the Disney and Universal theme parks. I've got one more for you this morning. As you can imagine, walking through the theme parks, it could be very chaotic at times. There were crowds and crowds of people, and so we would walk in crowds and we would walk through crowds. And as we were walking through the chaos, as we were walking in and through these crowds, I would say 3 simple words to my children. Stay with me. Don't wander off in the crowds. Don't wander off in the chaos. Stay with me. I want you to know this world can be very chaotic at times. Whether we're talking about the busyness of our lives, whether we're talking about the political chaos in our nation, whether we're talking about the cries from the crowds to accept and celebrate and even pursue our sinful desires, this world can be chaotic. And in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the crowds, I want you to hear what Jesus is saying to us. Stay with me. Don't wander off. Don't be led astray by this world and by your own sinful desires. Stay with me. We have not been called to stray. We have been called to stay. But maybe as you look at your own life, you would say that you have strayed. It's not that at some point in time you didn't truly give your life to Christ. You did, but you have strayed from that truth. Maybe you've given yourself over to your sinful desires. Maybe you've bought into some of these things that the world is shouting at us. You've strayed. If that's you in this place today, then I want you to hear this message. turn back. You don't have to continue going in the wrong direction. You know, I think sometimes when we sin, we feel like a failure. And as we have these feelings of being a failure, those feelings turn into the feeling of hopelessness. And as we live in this place of hopelessness, we feel trapped. We feel like there's no way out. And so if that's you today, I want you to hear these two words again. Turn back. Turn back to Jesus. Because if you will turn back to Jesus, you will find forgiveness. You will find redemption. You will find freedom. You don't have to continue to be trapped in your sins. Turn back and be set free today. But because we have not been called to stray, we've been called to stay. Because we've been called to walk this walk faithfully, to remain committed to the Lord, then I want us to look at these two things that we see in our passage today that will help us as we walk. Does it help me walk? These two things will help me walk. The first thing that I want you to see is that if we're going to walk the walk, then we are called to walk with God. If we're going to walk the walk, we are called to walk with God. Understand, walking the walk is not a solo act. I think this is important for us to remember, especially as we are wrapping up this series. Because I think sometimes we try to foolishly do this by ourselves. We try to walk this walk alone. But we have not been called to walk alone. We've been called to walk with God. Walking the walk is not a solo act. What does James say in verse 13? He says, "Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises." What are we doing when we're praying and when we're singing praises? We're talking to God. We are recognizing this promise right here that God is with us. He's with us in the difficult times, and He's with us in the good times. God is with us, and because He's with us in those difficult times, because He's with us in the good times, then this is a call for us to walk with God. But understand, this is more than simply a call for us to walk with God. This is really a promise for us that He is with us. And so I want to personalize this promise this morning. Hear these words, God is with you. No matter what you're going through, whatever circumstance you might be in, whether it's a good time or whether it's a difficult time, God is with you. So according to the U.S. Census Bureau in 2022, there were 18.4 million children in the United States of America. And of those 18.4 million children, 4.6 million children were reported to be living in homes completely void of any father figure at all. And research has shown that the children that are raised in fatherless homes are more likely to have behavioral problems, they're more likely to drop out of school, they're more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, they're more likely to commit a crime, they're more likely to go to prison. Needless to say, fathers, your presence in your children's lives is of the utmost importance, because your presence in your children's lives will determine, it will greatly impact their walk in this life. But I want you to understand, if you're a Christ follower, even if you are living or did grow up in a fatherless home, I want you to hear this. If you're a Christ follower, you are not without your Heavenly Father. You do have a Father's presence in your life because God is with you. This is a promise, and our Father, our Heavenly Father, has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. And because He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us, then you can rest assured that He's there with you in those times of suffering, but also in those times of celebration. God is with you, so you can talk with Him, and you can walk with Him. And so, I want to just give you two things that you can ask yourself this week to put this into practice. The first thing that you can ask yourself this week is, what difficulty am I going through? And as you recognize that, then let me encourage you to to pray about that this week. Whatever struggle that might be, pray about that. But you can also ask, what are the positive things? What can I rejoice about in my life this week? And as you recognize those things, then I would encourage you to celebrate. Take time to give thanks to God for those things. Hear this again, God is with you. And when we get into the practice of talking to God in any and all circumstances, then we will be reminded of this promise that God is with us. And as we recognize that we're not walking alone, it's going to greatly impact our walk in this life because God truly is our greatest help. So we're called to walk with God. But the second and final thing that I want you to see is that we're also called to walk with others. We're also called to walk with others. What does James tell the sick person to do? He says he should call for the elders of the church and they are to pray over him. What does James tell the person who has fallen into sin to do? He says, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another. We are called to walk with others. So let me say it again, walking the walk is not a solo act. First and foremost, God has called us to walk with him, but secondly, God has called us to walk with other believers, and more specifically, God has called us to connect our lives with other believers in the local church body. He should call for the elders of the church. We're called to connect with the local church body. I've said this before, but I'll give this reminder again. Much of the New Testament, many of the books that we have are letters written to local church bodies. A few of those are the church in Ephesus, the church in Philippi, the church in Corinth, and next week we're going to launch into a new 7-part series looking at the 7 letters to the 7 churches in the book of Revelation. Understand, God values the local church body. The local church is not an institution created by man. The local church is a gift established by God for the believer. It's how God has called us to come together, to worship, to study, to grow, and to further his kingdom together. And if you're a believer, understand God has called you to connect your life with a local church body. Whether it's this local church body or whether it's another local church body, God has called you to connect your life with a local church body. If you've been attending First Baptist Church Stockdale for some time, maybe you even consider this to be your church home, but you've never taken that step to make that commitment to become a member here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, then I would encourage you, take that commitment, make that commitment today. Take that step today because the local church is a gift established by God for the believer. And here's what we see happens as we walk this walk together. We get to see God do some great things. We've seen God do some great things here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. The great things that James talks about, he says there were people being healed. He talks about people being forgiven of their sins. James talks about God answering prayers in miraculous ways. When we walk this walk together, we get to see God do some great things. We've seen at this church in the last couple of years, salvation after salvation, people turning from their sins, coming to know the Lord as their Savior. We've seen Christians turning back to God. Maybe they've gone astray. They've turned back to God, rededicating their lives to Christ. We've seen baptism after baptism in the last couple of years, and we've seen our youth and children's programs exploding. This week, for Vacation Bible School, which launches tomorrow, we already have 80 children pre-registered. Our children's ministry, our youth ministry, they are exploding. And so as we look ahead to the future, as we work together, as we come together, as we serve the Lord together, as we trust God together, we believe that we're going to continue to see God doing great things here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. With more salvations, with more baptisms, with more growth in our youth and children's ministries. And as we trust God to see this new youth and children's building built, we're going to continue to see God doing great things here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. And I would invite you to come and be a part of this because God has called us to walk this walk with others, to walk this walk with the local church body. We are called to walk with God. We are called to walk with others. And as we consider this question, does it help me run? These two things quite certainly will help us walk this walk. Does it help me walk? These things will help us walk this walk. Not just today, not just tomorrow, but every single day. But you know, before you can walk the walk, first you must begin this walk. And if you've never begun the walk by surrendering your life to Jesus Christ as Lord, then I want to give you the opportunity to begin that walk this morning. And so in just a moment, we're going to sing another song. And as we sing this song, this is going to be your opportunity to respond. And if you're here today and you would say you've given your life to Christ, but you've never made that public, like Chris did this morning, like Cooper did this morning, then I would invite you to make that commitment this morning. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Make that commitment this morning. If you've been coming to First Baptist Church Stockdale, you've never made the commitment to become a member here, then I would encourage you, take that step. If you've given your life to Christ, if you've been baptized by immersion, take that step to become a member here at First Baptist Church Stockdale. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Maybe you're a Christian that has strayed, and today you need to turn back to rededicate your life to Christ. I would invite you to do that as well. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. But maybe you're here and you would say, I've never given my life to Christ at all. I've never begun this walk with Christ. Today, if you need to turn from your sins and allow for Jesus Christ to be your Lord, then I would invite you to respond as well. Come talk with me, come pray with me. Let's begin this walk together. If that's you, I would invite you to come. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do in these final moments as we sing this song, I would encourage you to respond obediently. Would you stand with me right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer together.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.